This is a Baby Brunch podcast. I get to speak to a lot of people. And when I realized that it's back to school for most of us, I thought, why not bring an expert in that understands children and understands moms as well? Because it's one thing to understand children, right? But I like getting advice or having conversations with moms who have also done it. And you've done it 3 times.
Yes, I did. Still doing it.
Still doing it. How old is your youngest?
My youngest is 21 months now. My oldest 9 and my middle child is 7.
So you're the principal of a development center. So in the olden days, we would say a creche, but a creche is different. In a creche, they look after the children.
Yes, I feel like a creche is like somewhere where you, it's like a place where you just go leave your child for babysitting.
Oh dear.
Yes, I feel that we are really a development center. We stimulate the kids and keep them busy and work on their milestones and really work on their, yeah, their development. It's not just, it's definitely play, 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 because of course they learn through play, but we do it with a mission, mm-hmm. There's a mission behind everything.
Jovani, ek het soveel vrae, want ek dink aan die eerste keer toe ek my kind moes babahuis of crèche of educare of wat ook al hulle dit noem, moes stuur. You know what, the anxiety for me as a mom was so bad. I didn't know what was happening to me. All I knew was this. I was pregnant with my second one because they're 22 months apart. I was pregnant with my second one and I had to drop off the firstborn at school for the first time. And she started school in August, so it was an August month. And I remember getting to the car and vomiting. I was so stressed. I was so stressed about it. And learning that it's back to school for our moms now, I say back to school for us because it's not just our children's journey. It's our milestone and journey too. So being the principal, I thought, let me bring you in and ask you some questions. Why do we get so nervous? Why is it so hectic? Hoekom is it so erg?
It's because we feel as moms, I'm talking about a mom perspective now, that we feel that no one can look after our children like we can. But we have to remember that moms must choose a school that they feel they must follow that gut in them and see, can I leave my child here? Will they also look after my child and care for them like I would do? So if you choose your school well, I think it will be better on a mom. And she will feel, okay, I will have a relationship with these people. And it's like, it's a community raising the kids. So if you work in partnership with them, I think it will be a better journey for you.
When we talk about our babies, I mean, I talk about it loosely when I say our babies, but I'm also talking about our children. So I have a few friends that have decided to keep their babies at home. So now the baby is 2 or 3 years old going for the very, very first time. I would assume that it's easier. Is it easier if the baby goes to school when they're younger?
I don't want to burst your bubble, but it is definitely easier for the children to go on an early age. It's not easier for the mom. Mm. So it's better for the little ones. They get into a routine, and all the schools more or less have the same kind of routine that they follow. Mm. So going from a baby house or a development center through the pre-primary school, it's more or less the same. So it's easier for them to adapt. And they were already in a class situation. There were a lot of kids around them. So they know this is exactly what's going to happen again. Although it's different for them, it's a new school, new teacher. But I just feel the moms must also not put their fears on their children. They can cry in the car. They can go cry in the principal office. We are more than welcome to lend our shoulders for you guys to cry on. But in the class, you must try to be as strong as you can and tell them that, listen, you are going to have the best day ever. And after I come back from work, I will come and fetch you. I promise you that. That is the most important for them to say, you're going to play here, but I will be back.
Do you know that I do that with my daughter still today?
I know.
I tap them on their shoulders and I say to them, mommy always comes, and they say back. And I think it's something for me because I'm still, you know, my babies have been in school for 2 years now. And I still feel that sense of anxiety, not because of who I leave them with, but because I'm not going to be with them.
Exactly, and you miss out. Moms feel that they miss out. And it is, we do miss out, but now I'm also in the other side of this discussion that I'm spending my time with so many kids every day, and I feel so blessed to see other children develop, and I see those things that the moms miss out. But I love it to tell the moms when they walk in, listen, do you know what happened today with this one? Right. Do you know what happened to this one? And we sometimes give the mom a call and say, listen, we need to share this with you because this was just amazing. Or we write it in their communication books. So I feel that it's really a partnership. Like I said, we have to keep the moms and the dads involved with what is going on with their kids.
Baby has been at home for a long time. Baby sometimes becomes toddler, or mommy needs to go back to work. Daddy needs to go back to work. Daddy and daddy, mommy and mommy, caretaker, mom who adopted, surrogate. We need to go back. En ons moet ons kind vir heel eerste keer vat. How do we prepare ourselves for that very first day? I know that sometime this week you had introduction and you also had orientation. And now school has started. What can we do to mentally prepare ourselves leading up to day one? Is there something other than the rescue remedy that you want to spray in your mouth? How can you prepare yourself?
For mom or child?
Both.
Both. Okay, let's start with the mom. I feel that the mom must really go and meet the teacher.
Great suggestion.
If she meets the teacher, talk to her, ask her a little bit how the routine works. How does she manage a situation like this in the class? Or how does the feeding work in her class? Where do they sleep? When do they play outside? If the mom gets to know the teacher better, I think she will feel that she can leave the child here, and she knows what the child's routine will be. And then she will know when she looks on her watch at work, okay, my teacher told me that my child will be eating snack now, or my child will be sleeping now. And then I think moms will feel better that they know the routine. It's also good to ask the school to maybe email the routine to the mom so that she can have it, and then she knows what her child is doing. The other thing is, we believe in, we have a paper, like we call it the basic baby info form.
Right. What's on it?
We give that form to every mom that walks in the first day. And on that form, it says, like, we want to know your child. So please tell us a little bit more. Mm. What is your child's routine during the day? When do they drink milk? What is the amount? When do they go down for a nap? What's your child dislike? What's their comfort? How do they go to sleep? What do they use? A dummy, a blankie, a
bottle taggy. Still.
Yeah, right, a bottle. Right. How do you get them to sleep? Like, do you pat them? Do you just touch them on their shoulder? How do you do it? And then from there on, the teacher really knows your child, and she can work on getting all the children in a routine in the class, make it easier for her as well as for your child to settle in. So that is for the child to also get used to the teacher and their new environment. If the mom spoke to the teacher, I feel that she will really be more relaxed and know what's going on. To get back to the kids, go show your child the school. It doesn't matter what age they are. Go
really?
show them the school. Remember, babies usually pick up on faces. They are very emotional. So if a teacher giggles to them and smile and say, what's your name, and take them and hold them, that makes them already feel welcome. So go and see the school. Talk to the teachers. Go see the class. Show them the toys, the playground, and just spend some 10 minutes or so there. Mm. And then it doesn't matter how old they are, talk to them and say to them, you are going to go to school and this is your teacher's name and you're going to play there with your friends. If they can only sit, they are still going to play.
What if your child is vocal and says, but I don't want to go to school? Do you chicken out? Do you keep them at home and decide not to send them?
I feel that will be a mistake. That will be a mistake. You can definitely ask your child if they are vocal, But why won't you like to go to school? What is your fears? What are you fearing going to school? And I think if you walk, then you tell them like, okay, but why don't we discuss this with your teacher? Then ask her if this is really like that at school. And then the day when you walk in, you go and say, listen, my little one is scared of this and this. Teacher, does it work like this here? Or how does it work? And usually the teachers are really, if they are well trained and they know how to handle the little ones, they will definitely say to them, listen, this is not at all how it works here. And if you miss your mom or you think this is going to happen here, please come tell me immediately and I will help you. So just to get them in their corner so that they know, because we talk about the mommies at school and the mommies at home. So they must feel that they can go to that teacher and tell them, listen, I don't feel comfortable in this situation. Help me.
I can imagine that there's some kind of anxiety around, but what if my baby, or what if they don't know my baby well enough? I'm just thinking of simple examples like if the baby can't sit yet, but, you know, some of the other children have reached that milestone where they can sit and you're worried, but, you know, what if she falls over and no one sees? Or what if she can't eat properly or chew yet? You know, will they be watching her? Ugemak, what to do when you're not sure whether your child has reached all the milestones of her peers in the class, and you're not sure whether you can, let me just say it, trust the teacher. How do you handle that?
I'm going to be very straightforward with this answer. If a teacher doesn't know the milestones of a little one, then please don't put your child in that school. So the teachers knows and they are trained to know that a baby of this age can do, you can expect this of this baby. A baby of an older age, you can expect this. We do not put unrealistic expectations on babies. But again, back to the information paper that we have, that form is so, like a Bible to us.
So let's say the school doesn't have an information paper. Could you ask them to do that?
I feel you can. A mommy, if they don't have an information paper, I feel the mommy can take a paper and just write a few points down so that she makes sure that this teacher will know exactly what to do if my baby is niggly or my toddler started to... mine usually make a mouth sound like it opens it like a little fish.
You have to demonstrate, Giovanni.
He makes like that for me. And then it means he needs his dummy.
So I
tell his teacher, listen, he needs his dummy if he makes like that.
Right.
And if he says gone, it means his little taggy, he can't find his taggy and he needs it now.
What's a taggy?
He has a little a blanket.
Right, my taggy.
Yeah, he has his taggy with him. And it needs to be...
Oh, my goodness, but he's squirrel hole, you know.
It needs to be next to his ear. So I just told her things like that. That is his cue to tell you, listen, I need comfort now. So if at school doesn't have that paper, please don't... Mommies, please, you must share that information with your teachers. Tell them on a little piece of paper, this is the nap times, this is when they're niggly, this is what they need. If your child is like 7 months and can't sit already and you feel that they had to, then, again, every child's milestones are different. So you can't push them, but tell the teacher, listen, I'm a little bit worried about this. Will you check this out for me? And just be careful that they do tend to fall over or they do not like tummy time at all, but I know it's so important. So please tell me how you do it so that I can maybe do it at home.
Do us as parents have a right to know what's going on at school? Like, can I phone the school reception every 5 minutes to check on my baby?
I do feel that is the privilege of a parent to know what's going on with their child. It is their child, and you put them in our care every day. So we have to have a really open relationship with them. So if you... as mom want to call the reception, the receptionist, or like I have an administrator in front and my manager, and we also have a WhatsApp line that makes it much easier.
I know
for
that
the parents.
WhatsApp line very well.
We love our WhatsApp line because it's so nice to communicate with with the parents each day, and when they come and fetch them, they already know what was going on with their child during the day. So we do recommend, if you are worried with your child, why I sit at work and be worried about it, give us a call or WhatsApp us. Hi, how's my little one doing? Are they niggly today? Or if your child had a difficult night, listen, I just want to check up. Is everything fine today? I feel you are welcome to do it. The only thing that I want to tell mommies is that it's they can't expect the teacher to come out of the class all the time.
Right.
Because then it means she needs to leave the whole class alone and come talk to all the moms on the phone. She will be on the phone all day.
Right.
And that's why we don't allow our parents to call our teachers directly. They must call the school. But our manager, our administrator, they are more than capable to go and check on them, quickly check with the teacher and get back to you. The other thing is, if you really want to speak to the teacher, there is a time, we always have sleepy times, and if there's an assistant that takes care of the kids in that time to supervise in the class, the teacher can come to the front and call you.
So that's a good point. So you can prioritize your speaking time, either ahead of school, like let's say school starts at 7:30, you can come in earlier to talk to the teacher.
You can.
Or you can phone when the babies are asleep and say, I really need to speak to you about something.
As well as sometimes the teachers work on schedule. So if they leave 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whenever, they can also give you a call then. So, okay. Or if you know it's the early day, they're leaving, I say now 3, but if they leave then, mommies know they can quickly call and say the teacher must call me back before they leave.
Is it wrong, unethical to ask for the teacher's number?
You know what? Like any other profession, we are also professionals, and all of our teachers have their own families as well as their own children.
My uncle or Belle.
That they need to get to. So if you can call in working hours, that's wonderful. But I feel that the teachers also didn't see their children during the day. And now they need to go home, but they're on the phone all the time with the parents. So I must say, it depends from school to school. I like to protect my staff a little bit with their private time because they don't have it often.
Teacher Giovanni, I'm enjoying this conversation, and I wish I knew some of the things that you're talking about now before my kids went to school, because I didn't know, you know, and you're anxious and you drop them off and you go for a coffee and you fetch them an hour later because you just can't, you know.
Can't deal.
No, it's hard. It's very hard, and it's still hard. It's still hard knowing that today they are not with me right now as I'm sitting here with you in my studio, and that they are being taken care of someone else, you know.
Yes.
And with both my babies, someone else saw them walk, you know. I didn't because I was traveling and I was at work, and I saw a video, you know, and subsequently I've lost that video because my phone is gone and now I don't have it, you know. So it is hard. It's really, really hard. What if I meet the teacher and we don't get along? Like, can I have another teacher?
That, I must say, is a very sensitive subject.
Does it happen often?
No. Not in my experience, I must say, but I appoint lovely teachers. No, let me tell you what I would say or suggest the mom to do, and talking out of my own experience.
Right.
I will mention that that I had a year that I didn't get along with the teacher at all. We didn't have like a fight or anything, but I just didn't see eye to eye with her. But she wasn't bad for my child. She didn't ruin him.
Right.
She didn't. He liked her.
Right.
He wanted to go to school. And what he had to learn that year, he did. So it was my personal issues with her personality.
Right.
Like in any social environment, in any workplace, there's people that you get along with more than others.
Right.
When you mingle in a group, you would tend to talk to others more than others. So I would suggest if you answer a few questions for yourself, like, is she bad for my child?
No.
Is she going to do my child harm?
No.
Will she take my child's best, like,
interests
at heart? Will she keep that in mind? Will their personalities clash?
No.
Then you must think, will I be able to have a conversation with her if there was something happening like a death in the family or something? Will I be able to go to her and tell her, listen, something happened and you must look out for that? Will I have the courage to go up to her? Mm. If you can answer those questions as a mom and feel like, you know what, maybe I just didn't get her yet, or we are not the same person, but she's lovely to my child, then I feel you must take your child's, take what your child wants. Does he want to stay in the class?
Mm.
But then if there's a situation that you really feel this woman or this man, like if it's an older child, is not good for my child's personality.
Mm.
They clash, they argue, he doesn't want to go to school, she doesn't want to go to school. I feel it is the right of the mom to say, listen, my child is not doing well.
Mm.
They can't stay for a whole year in this person's class. Mm. Go talk to the principal. There's definitely a way that you guys can work around it, and they will hear you out. Most of them are parents as well.
Mm.
So they will hear you out. But it must be, I feel, not a personal or I just don't like her face. I just don't like how she dresses. Yeah. Her car. She doesn't have the best car.
It's her hair. It was actually her lipstick color. No, I'm kidding. What if your baby gets sick at school? What should we know? So, I mean, children get sick. That was the first bit of advice I got when my kids went to school. They said to me, just know that all babies get sick. I was like, yeah, but I don't want to send it to school because I'm scared the baby will get sick. All babies get sick. So
they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What should we know? Will the school call us? Or
definitely. I think it's good for each parent to know before they start at a new school or a new year again to get a updated or revised sick leave or the sick policy.
Mm.
So what do they allow at school regarding sick children, and what do they not allow at, regarding sick children? Because in my case, at my school, we have a whole sick policy in...
What is a sick policy? So foot and mouth.
Yes. Our sick policy will say, like, this is the disease that it... this is what the symptoms are.
Right.
This will be... is it contagious? Do the child need to stay at home for this long?
Mm.
For 5 days, 7 days, 10 days? And we will stick to that. I did have a few cases that doctors...
Right.
...sent a letter to me to tell me that, listen, this child can go... can come back to school.
Mm.
But the hand, foot and mouth blisters are still on their hands.
Wouldn't you?
And that is not, that is definitely not part of my rules.
No.
So parents must, I feel some parents will think the school is being unreasonable. But time and time again, we tested our sick policy. And if it's a good school and they know what they're talking about and they work well with doctors in the community as well as clinical sisters, like a baby sister, they will know what they're talking about. And out of experience, working every day with sick children, because there are children getting sick every day, they will know what they're talking about. Mm. And I feel parents must respect the rules, because we aren't only thinking about one child, but we're thinking about 70 or 100 or 120 kids.
My kids in that class.
Your kids, that is exactly, your kid is in that class, and we're thinking about the one that isn't sick yet.
Mm.
So we are not discriminating about this, against the sick child.
Mm.
We are like, we have to stop a whole breakout, or we have to stop everyone getting sick, and especially the staff as well. Everyone forgets the staff.
Mm.
If babies come to school sick, and they make the staff sick, who's going to look after the others?
Mm.
That's my problems in the real world.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my problems.
A lot of people can't afford school fees. It's expensive to put a baby in school or in a development center or a place where someone can take care of them while we're at work or traveling or doing what moms and dads need to do. Why is it important for babies to socialize? I mean, I'm thinking now of... Do we leave them at home with a caretaker or our moms or a nanny? Or why is it important for them to go to school?
I feel like experts say babies are ready to socialize by 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it's lovely actually to think. But if you think back to your baby when she was 3 or 4 months, it's a time when they started babbling and they're making sounds.
Yes.
They're starting to smile.
Blowing
they look
bubbles,
at you.
Yes.
They want to. They are curious. They want to see what's going on around them.
Mm.
And that is also socializing is the best language development. How they develop their language, because they hear all the new voices and words, and they get to sing songs and all those lovely things that we do in our themes and in our language session at school. So it is good for them to socialize. So if a mommy can't afford schooling, I would suggest that she get like a tight group of friends that has maybe the same age kids, where she can maybe have like a scheduled play date each week.
Nice.
That they go and they socialize. They sit down on their bums with their kids and they talk to them and they play and they see what the other one can do. Also, if they can't afford a whole school week, I feel that there's so many programs out there that babies developing a kindermusik. I don't want to mention or promote anyone, but there's a lot of them outside there.
A Kenny Girls on Pinkfoot and there's Clamber Club.
Moms and Babes.
All of them.
It's lovely for them to get along in a group then, and then they can develop and socialize and play with friends. I actually wanted to tell you now that I'm speaking about how important it is for them to be in a group with the same age kids. We were on holiday, and like I mentioned, my older ones, and now the baby is the odd one out, and the cousins and everyone, they are older. So when we went to the beach, my baby found a baby that was the same size as him.
Right.
And it was like, listen, he ran up to him and touched his face and said, you are like the same person
like
as
me.
And they were like smiling at each other. And it was actually, my heart felt, shame. He doesn't have anyone that, he can't relate to anyone.
Mm.
Because everyone is taller than him and bigger than him and can talk. And no one has a taggy, no one has a dummy.
Mm.
Yeah.
And now you find a Mikey that's the same height and size.
Exactly. So please, mommies must socialize with the same
It's
children.
An interesting fact that you mentioned. And I want to touch on this only, and I'm not bad-mouthing anyone. And I want to say it with a lot of respect, and only because it's something that I found. So my older kid was in a class with children that were older and younger than her. And then my baby was in a class that only had her age. Right. So she was in a class with 1-year-olds and with 2-year-olds when she was 1 and 2. Whereas my 2-year-old was in a class with 5-year-olds before, also with smaller babies.
Yes.
And I found that their development was differently.
Definitely.
And I'm talking now emotional development.
Yes, because I think sometimes the teachers, and it's very difficult, I will tell you, in my first year of teaching, I had a class like that. And it is extremely difficult to get the milestones like in line, because now you have to work out a whole program for the bigger ones and the smaller ones, and now the smaller ones think they can do the bigger things and they can't, and you actually miss like building blocks.
Yeah, I've got homework to do.
Does I?
Yeah.
You miss building blocks, and that's why it's so important for them to mingle with the same age.
I do believe in that.
And
it's okay if you feel differently, and you can see on our podcast platform, there is an option to comment also on our Facebook page, and perhaps you feel differently. We'd love to hear what you think. But just from my babies being in school, I can see that there's a difference in their development. You know, there's something.
To get back to that as well, Ilona, you can also say that siblings in a house, they are never the same age except if they are twins.
Mm.
So, and it's not bad for them to be in one house.
Mm.
We are just saying it's maybe better for them to learn from the same age, and it makes it easier in a class situation.
Mm.
But if there's a play group that has different kind of ages in one class, I feel that they must just have a lot of hands helping them.
Right.
And just not forget that this one is smaller.
3 years. Yeah. 3 and this one is 4. Or this one is 5 and this one is 6.
18 months.
Yeah, 18 months and 3 months or 3 years.
Yeah.
Is just to remember, just to expect that from this child and not to forget like we have different ages in one class.
My child is in school and it's winter. And I believe that in winter, children get sick. And therefore, on the 1st of June, I will take my baby out of school. And on the 1st of September, when it's nice and warm and when there's flowers outside, I will bring my baby back to your school, yes, to your development center, and yes, we will continue the year. Can I take my baby out of school?
Personally, I will not suggest it.
Why not?
The reason for it is, in the beginning of the year, how stressful it is for them to adapt in the beginning of the year.
Mm.
So now you take them out for 3 months again. You're going to have January and September all over again.
But then they'll be healthy.
They will be healthy. But can I tell you something? My baby, I have a school and my baby is in my school. He was so sick. I was like, I didn't know what to do anymore.
Mm.
So they do get sick. Mommies must be realistic about it. They do get sick. The doctor, the pediatrician told me that it's one of those things. It's a thing just to get, you just have to push through it. Some children's immune systems are just better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at one class last year, I couldn't believe that there were kids that weren't off sick the whole year.
Mm.
But why was my baby sick all the time?
Right.
So it really depends from child to child. You can't say my baby will be sick. Be realistic and think, yeah, well, they will be sick. I don't think it's a good idea to take them out and reintroduce them to school again all over again just to save maybe your child will only be sick twice, but mm-hmm, our other child will be sick 5 times in winter time. So I won't suggest that. Yeah. Summer, winter, they are sick. to be very honest.
How much do we share with the teacher? Do we tell them when we are traveling or, and I heard you mention it earlier, do we tell them when there was death in the family?
Yes, I would say so. You know what? We think that the children don't hear us,
yep,
when we're talking to our husbands, mm, or when we're talking to our moms over the phone. They don't feel our emotions.
Mm.
I heard my one son... my son had a conversation with my daughter one day, and I wasn't even upset. I was just very busy that day.
Mm.
And I heard him say to her, listen, we have to be really good because I see mom is in a really bad mood.
Ah.
But I walked to the room and I said, listen, why am I in a bad mood? But they feel your tension. They feel that you are busy. They feel your heartbreak. They feel that you have stress at work.
Mm.
So please tell the teacher, inform them, listen, I am going to be away on work, or we had a situation in the family and it's hectic at the moment.
Right.
So that the teacher get to know your child so well and their personality and how they act in class. And now all of a sudden, if the child is acting totally different, now the teacher doesn't know what to do.
Mm.
But if she knows, listen, I must check out for this child because maybe there's going to be a meltdown today a few times, or then she knows how to handle it immediately rather than to maybe handle it a little bit different and doesn't understand what's going on.
Right.
She could maybe handle it perfectly and the child will have a wonderful day. So definitely share what you feel you can share with, just to make your child's day easier.
What can you ask the teacher at pickup time? Do you ask them about poof dooker, like how many times they made a poop and a pee pee, and do you like can you go there? Like
definitely you are allowed to know. And my husband always laughs at us when we're talking about those things because that is a topic in the baby house.
Mm.
We talk openly about the dooker.
Mm.
We talk about the nappies and we talk about how they look because we know each child so
that tells your health in many ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not foreign to talk about it. It's our job. It's something that we have to know. Definitely ask them if there was something wrong. Was all the nappies like regular?
Right.
If you know your child has a dirty nappy 3 times a day, ask, was it 3 times? And if it was not, you know, maybe, oh, there's maybe constipation, or maybe I must look at the diet, or then you can know. But definitely ask them nappies. If there weren't enough wet nappies, then you know, and in this hot heat that we had at the moment, like, then my child didn't drink enough. Make sure my child drinks a little bit more tomorrow,
right,
to prevent dehydration. So you have to ask those things. In our school, we have like a report. Every day we have a report. So it's on the wall in the class. So when mommy comes in, they can look on the report, and there it will be marked off. Your child had so many wet nappies, so many dirty nappies, the sleeping times that they had, what did they eat? Did they eat all their snack, all their breakfast, all their lunch? So we do mark it off there for the parents to look at. And we always tell the dads, and we give them the advice in the beginning of the year, if you come and pick up the child, please take a photo with your phone of that schedule, because mommy will ask
she will ask you, yes.
Did they eat? When did they sleep? When did they wake up? So, and daddies they're not wired like that. So they forget, I know, I can't remember when did they wake up. So, yeah, take a photo for your wife at home so that she can know this was my baby's routine today.
Take me through the routine. Is it, eerste dag arriveer, first day arrives, we now, in the baby seat, we have our bottle packed. The baby bag is packed with extra clothes in case there's wet. Maybe the snuggy toy. And we have had the visits at school. You know who your teacher is, where you're going to go to school. We think we're ready. A little bit anxious still and short of breath, but we are in this. We're ready to hand over baby to the teacher. Is it drop and go? Do you stay? Do you kiss the baby in teacher's arms? when do you turn around and leave? Just take me through the drop and go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, mommy can tell the child already at home, come, let's take your bag. We are going to school. And then on the way to school, tell them, we are going to play with this. If you know maybe some of the friends from last year's names, or you know the teacher's names, you're going to play with this child and this child, and your teacher is waiting for you. And are you going to build blocks, and you're going to play with the toys,
and you're going to drink milk,
and you're going to drink milk, and you're going to have a sleepy time, and what's your favorite school food at school? So talk them through it. And when you guys get out there, you walk up to the school, and if there's something interesting in the
trees.
Yeah, maybe in the trees or in the
flowers.
I see that you've done it before. It's like on the playground. Maybe they took out toys already that they want to play with. Say, are you going to ride on that pink or blue bike? Or are you going to play with that ball? Encourage them to have a fun day. And then when walking into the school, you must not, it's very difficult. I know, I'm a mom myself, and I cried when my baby had to leave my office to a class just down the hall or down the passage. So I was in a mess, and my manager laughed at me and say, what's going on with you? But that's a mom. A mom is like that. So then when you walk in, you have to put on your beagle boots. And stay strong for their sake. Like I said, they feel your emotions. Go into class, greet the teachers and the assistants friendly to show your child that you like them. So you can like them, you can trust them. I trust them to take after you. So you can also trust them and to comfort you today. So greet them friendly. I have a saying that I always do with my 21-month-old. I usually peek around the corner and then I say to the teachers, did you miss me?
Aww.
So he knows that's the routine, and he knows he's going to school then. And usually the teachers will then respond, oh, we missed you so much. We're so glad you are here.
Right.
So he knows they are excited to have him today. So to make something maybe like that for a mom and a child, it's like a personal thing for them. That's a good, like a tradition to do every day at school. And then drop and go is the best. Greet the teachers. Make a big fuss of all the wonderful toys that's lying on the floor or what's packed out on the tables and pass them into the caregiver's hands, kiss them, and say, I will be back, like we said earlier. I will be back. And then mention that I'm going to work, and when I'm finished there, I will come and pick you up. And that is the most important. Please do not let your child be taken by the caregiver and then just slip away. Because then they don't know where you are. It's like playing peekaboo.
Yeah.
Where are you?
You're going to appear again.
Are you going to come back? Are you going to leave me here? So it is important for them. If they cry then after you said, okay, I will be back and I love you, then it's hard for the mom. Just turn around and go.
Okay.
The caregivers and the teachers, they know what to do. They know how to distract. They know how to keep them busy.
Mm.
And usually, let me tell you, 90% of the times when mom gets in the car and cry her eyes out,
they've stopped crying.
They stop crying and they're already playing.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, they're already playing. In the first few weeks, adaption can take anything from 1 week to 4 weeks.
Okay.
Depending on your child's personality and how sensitive they are to change. But in those weeks, the Monday is bad. The Tuesday is worse.
Mm.
By Friday, it's better. The next Monday, it's going to be terrible again.
Right.
So mom must be prepared that it's going to take a while. But this too shall pass.
Mm.
And then one of these days, you have a child that you're going to fetch at school and doesn't want to come. They want to play. And then we have little ones that tell their moms that's just over 2 years old, that tell their mom, please come back later.
Mm, because they still want to play.
Yeah, they still want to play.
I hear you speak now the amount of weeks. I remember it was week 6 and my eldest was still unsettled, you know, going was still hard. And I also wondered, when will this stop? And it did, you know.
It did. For some, usually it's 1 to 4 weeks. But we had a child that took 8 weeks and I thought that we don't know what to do anymore. And just then one day, it just stops.
Okay.
Just one day, it clicks in that I have to be here because my mommy works. The reason why I said, tell your child you're going to work, because our teachers love to say to them, if they ask, where's my mom? Where's my mom? Then we usually tell them, mommy's working, and then she's going to climb into your car,
right?
And then she's going to go buy you guys food for tonight.
Mm.
And after she bought food, she's coming to come and fetch you.
Oh, okay.
So we like to tell them the routine as well, what mommy is doing, because they don't know, what is my mom doing? She's just gone.
Mm.
So we like to tell them, your mom is coming back after work. And that's what you tell. So no one is lying.
Mm.
No one is lying to them. We are all honest and we have their best interests at heart.
I love the putting their minds at ease as to where you're going. And even now, having done that, my eldest is 4 now. If I get dressed, no matter, because I have more than one job, you know, I don't just work at the radio. But if I say to her, where's mommy going? She usually references the radio because that to her is work. And I just leave it at that, you know, no matter which gig I'm going to, I just say,
going to the radio.
Mommy's going to the radio.
So that must be their comfort. Where is my mom?
Yeah.
That's where she is.
She is.
Yes.
Wow, Yovani. Well, as our mommies and daddies are gearing up to have their babies become future leaders, presidents, executives, CEOs, and it starts with you and a team of many other people in the world as development experts, what's your words of encouragement to any mom or dad that needs to send their little one off? Because it is hard.
It is hard. This too shall pass. And then there will be a time that they are so happy at school and you can't actually remember the time that they cried and that they didn't want to go. So it's just a phase and it's like a growing pain, but it will pass. That's the first thing. The second thing that I want to say for parents that's maybe going to a new school or still looking for schools maybe to enroll, follow your gut, like I said earlier as well. I do believe you walk into a school and you feel this can be my second home for my child.
Mm.
Because that is exactly what it is. It's a second home. And if mommy doesn't like the place and daddy doesn't agree where baby is going, I promise you the child will feel it and they won't be happy there. So put your child in a facility or a school or a developing center where you feel absolutely safe. They can look after your child. The other thing that I also wanted to say is that, with that being said, is it's a partnership with the school. So talk to your teacher regularly. Mm. Make the time to see her quickly in the morning, maybe once a week or twice a week, or in the afternoon when you go and fetch her. Talk to your teacher and ask, was there anything that you picked up that I have to be aware of? Or is there anything that you would like to share with me that I have to look out for at home, especially with potty training? And if there's bed wetting again, or when the child is being anxious, was there maybe a friend that was a little bit harsh on your child? Or was there a situation in the class that was maybe stressful? Mm. So seek for that partnership in the teacher. They are human. Mm. They are there to look after your child. This is their profession. And teachers are born. We do not study to be a teacher. We do, but we are born. It's in our blood. So they are there for the moms. They are there for the children. I had a discussion with a psychologist one day, and she told me, I'm so lucky I'm in my job, because I only have one patient. You guys have three to work with, because it's mom, dad, and baby or toddler. So we have three to feel safe in the school and to have a relationship with.
Yeah.
So please seek for that relationship. If you do not have a relationship, it's going to be a difficult year. It takes a village to raise them, isn't it? So take hands and take the help. If you need to work, take the help. Put your comfort in that teacher. Let her help you. We have a lot of moms that walks in and we can just see, like, listen, this mom needs us today, because that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
And then we take the baby and we say, go to my office. Do you need a coffee? Or just do you need to make a call? We'll talk to you now. And we have so many comebacks of moms that said, listen, I really appreciate that day. We don't have to know what's going on in your life. We really don't have to know. It's just to know that we're all in the same situation. We're all fighting this big bad world that we have to raise these children in, and we have to take hands. So that's my words of encouragement.
Well, Juffrou Jovani, sit ek nou hier in trane pik oor die kinders by die skool.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your encouragement and also the clarity, you know, simple examples of just what to ask for, because you don't know, you know, because when you leave, it's your baby and them. So hello.
No, and it's your best possession that you will ever have. So
I always say that my children. Yeah. It's my highest achievement. It's everything.
That is. Yeah, it is. And we also have to remember they were given to us by God, but they are a gift. And it's actually not a possession. We don't own them. But we have to guide them. And when they are small, we have to take their decisions and make decisions for them the best that we can think of in that time. So that's why I say follow your guts. Believe what you feel inside, is this the right place for my child? And then it will be a lovely relationship with the school. It will be a partnership. It can't go wrong then.
Jovani, thank you so much for other stories about ordinary people who do extraordinary things just like Jovani. Click on babybrunch.co.za. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure. It was lovely.